We're going to look this morning in the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we've been going through 1 Timothy in our Sunday evening studies, and there's a couple different thoughts here that kind of wanted to condense together, but I think we're going to try to focus on verses 5 through 7 here in 1 Timothy. It says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm." And let's look once again to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again for all that you do for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the salvation that's in Jesus. And Father, we just pray today that you would take your word and apply it to our hearts by your Holy Spirit. And Father, you'd give us the things that we need today. We all stand in need of your continual and constant work in our hearts. And I just pray, take the word and bless it to us today and apply it. Apply it to us, Lord. Take away the hardness that is in our hearts and cause us to be tender to your word today. And we just pray for your blessings and we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the thought that we want to bring out from this is that of producing people that love God. Producing people that love God. You know, what is it about? What's it about going to church? What's it about, the things that we do and being religious or whatever? What is that all about? Well, it's about loving God. It's about loving God. And it's about serving God out of love and serving people out of love. This is what the end product of the commandment should produce in us, is love. And so producing people that love God. As we preach and teach the Word of God to others, we should have a clear understanding of what we're trying to produce in them by our instruction. I mean, are we trying to, you know, make them all shiny on the outside and, you know, make them all religious and conform to, you know, a certain structure? Or are we trying to produce something on the inside that changes the outside? You know, and of course, that's what we're doing. That's what Jesus does. Jesus works on our heart and he changes us from the inside out. And so we need to be careful about getting that backwards and trying to change the outside and change them from the outside in. It just doesn't work. You know, we need to be changed from the inside out. And so we need to understand that as we're talking to people, as we're trying to communicate the gospel to people, that, you know, it's not about religious conformity. It's about loving the Lord. It's about him working on your heart and saving your soul. And that's going to change your life. And that's going to show up on the outside. And it's going to come out. What's on the inside comes out. So as we preach and teach the word of God to others, we should have a clear understanding of what we're trying to produce in them by our instruction. Conformity to religion is not the aim of God's word. Neither should it be of our instruction. But rather, the aim of God's word is to produce people that love God and that love others. And that by love, serve God and other people out of a pure heart, out of a good conscience, and out of a genuine faith. If this is not also our understanding and aim in teaching God's word, we are of less profit to the eternal souls of people than a wind chime blowing in the breeze. I mean, as we talked about that vain jangling there, just, you know, empty jingling. What profit is it to, you know, shine people up on the outside if they're still lost on the inside? What profit is that to their soul? And so we have to understand that it's salvation that people need. It's real genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's real repentance of sin, and that happens in the heart, and that changes the outside. It changes the life. And so, first of all, number one, then, love, the end, the aim, the object, the objective of God's commandment. There in verse 5, now the end of the commandment. That's not the, you know, the doing away of end, but the completion of it, the aim of it, the object of it. Now the end of the commandment is charity. That's what it's for. That's what it's designed to produce. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned or unfaked. So the end of the commandment is charity. The end is not the doing away of, but the desired end. The object in mind, the good end result. The commandment is singular. Notice there, not the end of the commandments, but the end of the commandment. You know, so that applies to any command of God's word. The end of the commandment, the instruction, any command of God's word that says you ought to do this and not do this, the end of that thing is love or charity. And so the commandment is singular in that it applies to any command of God. The object of every command of God is charity or love. Look in Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 34. It says, but when the Pharisees had heard, speaking to Jesus, had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And that's what it's for. That's what it's to produce. Love. Loving God with everything you are and loving your neighbor as yourself. That is the end of the commandment. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13 and verse 8. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So that's what our text is talking about. That the end of the commandment is charity. That's the object. That's the aim. That's what it is to. It is meant to produce. And so we need to get a hold of that. You know. That's what it's for. It's meant to produce that in people. So, and that is to come from a not only is that the end and the object, but that is to come from a right heart. A right heart. So. The commandment is also out of that charity is out of a pure heart. Notice there in verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. See, we can do things that seem like love, that are the actions of love. In other words, let's say you go to a nursing home and you minister to the people there and you're going through the motions of love, but is your heart pure and right in what you're doing? Or is there an ulterior motive to why you go and engage in that ministry? Is it because you love and care for those people? Or is it because you feel obligated to because that's the night we go to the nursing home? Or is it because you feel like, you know, that this will gain me some kind of a status, you know, with other people? And then they'll look at me and they'll say, well, oh, look at so-and-so. They go do this, you see. That's not right, you know. So we've got to have a pure heart. So charity out of a pure heart. The things that we do have to be out of a right heart. But charity out of a pure heart. Pure, you know, unmixed. A right heart motive. We need to know that the heart is very a very deceitful thing. You know, I guarantee that all of our hearts lie to us all the time. They're very good at making excuses. We're real good at making excuses for ourselves. Your heart's always like, oh, no, I would never do that. You probably would. You probably do. And you just don't see it. But the heart is a deceitful thing. And so this is an important part of this. Why do we do what we do? Why do we come to church? Why do we witness to people? Why do we, you know, why do we do it? It needs to be out of a pure heart, a pure motive, the way that we do things. But charity out of a pure heart. But the heart is a deceitful thing. And so we need to be careful to examine our heart motivation for our actions. In other words, is pure love for God and for people our true motivation? Or is there some other selfish reasons that we do what we do? You know, pride can get in there. What is everybody going to think about me if I don't do this? That's pride. It's not the right motivation. Praise. You know, you like it when people say, oh, wow, you did such a good job and you're so faithful. And that's not the right motivation. Position, you know, you have some sort of a status, some kind of a position. Obligation, there's all kinds of wrong reasons we do the right thing. You know what? That's not right. That's not right with God. We've got to have it out of a pure heart. Why do you do it? Why do you do what you do? Why are you here today? Are you here today because you're worried about so-and-so, what so-and-so might think because you didn't show up today? You know, a pure heart. It matters. Your heart matters so much. We need to get a hold of the fact that our hearts are the issue. And what's in our heart matters most to God. You know, and obviously we need to do things that are right, but we need to do it out of a pure heart. Out of a pure heart. So we know we could turn to Jeremiah 17. We know that it says that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? In other words, that's kind of a question to tell us that no one really does know it except for God. God knows our hearts. And He's the one that's going to give us the things that are really in our hearts and give us the things that are really do us for what's in our hearts. But we need to be very suspicious and critical of our own heart motives for service. Because one day God is going to bring out all the truth. You know, we're really good at making excuses and we're really good at, you know, feeling like we're all set. But one day the Lord's going to bring out the truth. He's going to say, yeah, you did this, but this is really why you did it. It really wasn't because you loved me. It really wasn't because you loved them. It was for your own selfish motives, you know. And so we need to be careful that it's out of a pure heart. And of a good conscience, it goes on to say there. It says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience. A good conscience is one that has no need to make excuses for one's actions. You know what? If you're really doing what you ought to be doing, you won't be having that little conversation with yourself about why you're justified in doing what you ought not to be doing. You know, we do that. We have this little conversation in our minds. You know, oh yeah, I know that the Bible says this, or I know that I ought to do this, but I have this really good reason why I shouldn't. You know, that's not a good conscience. Your conscience is in there, and you're feeling guilty about what you're doing, and you know how that applies. But you have this little conversation where you justify yourself. And you need to be careful about that and realize that if you had a good conscience, you wouldn't need to justify yourself, you know. If you're in church when you're supposed to be, you don't have to have that little conversation with yourself. If you're reading your Bible like you're supposed to be, you don't have to have that little conversation, or praying like you're supposed to be, or you know, witnessing like you're supposed to be, or, you know, or being separated from the world in your home when nobody's around like you're supposed to be. You wouldn't have to have these little conversations in your heart, these little excuses. If you have a good conscience and what you're doing is that you're not going to have that feeling in your stomach like, ooh, I probably shouldn't be doing this. And so what we do should also be with a good conscience. And you won't have to have that, you know, that little conversation where you make excuses for yourself and your actions. That won't even come up. That won't be an issue. You know, people are full of excuses. They're full of excuses because they're not doing what they should be doing. And so that's why they got all these excuses. Well, yeah, but I have this, and this is the reason why. If we're doing what we're supposed to, we don't have to have that. We have a good conscience, and we don't have to have those excuses. And of faith unfeigned, it says, or unfaked, real faith, genuine faith. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Real faith, not imagined. Not fake, but real, genuine faith. But where there is genuine saving faith in God and His Word, there will be a capacity of loving and serving God with a pure heart and a good conscience. You know, when a person is saved, when they've truly believed in the Lord and He's saved them, He's changed their heart, you know, they still have this old sinful flesh. But now they have a capacity to serve God as they ought to, but they also have a capacity not to, because we still got this old flesh. And so this faith gives us the capacity to do what we ought to do and serve God the way we should serve Him. But we still have that sinful flesh, and we'll not always love and serve God as we should. I mean, every one of us, you know, we go through those times where we don't serve God the way we ought to, and we're making excuses for our actions, and we're not living the way we ought to be, you know, but we have the capacity. It's of real faith. You know, real faith is always in accordance with the Word of God. That's why it says, you know, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Well, what's that mean? It means that if I'm not doing it, if I don't have a Bible reason for what I'm doing, then it's sin. All my actions need to be Bible-based. And if I can't base it in the Bible, then it's sin. And so we need to, everything we do needs to be out Bible-based. It needs to be out of, because God says so, because His Word says so. Out of a life of that and out of holding to His Word, the things that we do, the end of the commandment is charity out of these things and of faith that is unfeigned. Faith that's not made up, not fake, but real. I really have the Word of God. I'm trusting in the Word of God, and this is what is producing in my life. But these are some things that we're trying to produce, obviously, as we teach people God's Word. Service from love rather than from religious obligation. And so don't lose sight of our objective. In verse 6 there, it says, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling. If we forget that what we're doing is to produce a people that love God and out of a pure heart and a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, and if we forget that, then we've turned aside into vain jangling. We've become empty noise. We've become of no profit to the eternal souls of people. If we've turned from these things. So don't lose sight of our objective. If we're trying to teach God's Word just to know it or to feel religious or to produce religious conformity in those we teach, then we have gone wrong. We have lost sight of our purpose. We've turned aside, gotten off track, and we've become useless to the ministry of God's Word. The Jews' danger was loving the law instead of God. I mean, that's what they always wanted to turn back to. Well, let's go back to our religious conformity. You know, that heart stuff is hard, but the religious stuff is easier. We can just show up, do a religious thing, and we can just keep our old sinful heart the way it is. You know, it's easier to conform to religion than it is to have some heart examination and some heart surgery and some real repentance. Those things are harder to do. Than to just show up and take your place in religion. That's easier to do. Outward conformity is easier than real heart repentance and getting right with God. But the Jews' danger was loving the law instead of God, and our danger is loving doctrine instead of God. Did you know you can do that? That you can love doctrine, and you can replace that for love of the Lord? And we need to be careful to love doctrine, but to love it because we love the Lord. And we need to have our hearts right. And the reason, the end of the commandment is charity. Well, we need to be loving the Lord and loving His truth, together. You can't separate the two. And sometimes I think people, separate it. And they love the truth, but they're way away from their relationship with Jesus like it ought to be. Yeah, we love the truth and we stand on the truth. But what about our love for the Lord? How's your relationship with the Lord? I have my doctrine all right. I have my doctrine all in a row, but my heart's not right with the Lord. You see, we've got to love Him. We've got to love Him. And that's the reason that we love His Word and we love His truth. But to substitute doctrinal correctness and love of doctrine for love of God is great error. Look in Revelation chapter 2. And that really is. That's our danger today. That's how we can become Pharisees. You know, the Jews became Pharisees by religious conformity, loving religion more than God. And we can become the same sort of Pharisees only by loving doctrine and religious conformity instead of loving the Lord like we ought to. Now, we need to love truth, obviously. I mean, we love it. That's what makes us Baptists. We love it. The Lord draws us to it. We love the Bible. We love what it says. But you know what? We can get to a place where you substitute that. And your relationship is not what it ought to be with the Lord, even though you hold to the truth. But this is what Revelation 2 addresses, a church that loved the truth, but had gotten away from the Lord in their heart. And so Revelation 2, it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. And he's saying, these things are all good. You're doing all these things. These are good things. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And You know, we need to be careful that we're loving the Lord, you know, and that's number one. And that our relationship with the Lord is number one. You can't substitute doctrine for your relationship with the Lord. You've got to have them both. They go together. They're a package. You can't, you know, you can't say, well, we've got all our ducks in a row, so we're all set. That's what the Pharisees said. We've got our religion all in a row. We're all set. We're good to go. And Jesus said, you're white as sepulcher because your heart's not right. We've got to get our relationship right with the Lord. We've got to get that right. You know, that's great that we have our doctrine right, but we've got to have our hearts right too. Can't neglect our hearts. And so we can't forget that. It's about our hearts, and it's about why we do what we do. Not just what we do, but why we do what we do. And not just what we believe, but why we believe what we believe. And why we hold to what we hold to. Well, it's because we love the Lord. And it needs to be about our relationship with Jesus first and foremost. That's what it needs to be about. We can't leave that first love. When we get away from that, we go wrong. When we get away from that, we become a shell of what we ought to be. We become this empty thing. You know, 1 Corinthians 13. We need to love the Lord, and that needs to be our first motivation. And that will cause us to, everything on the outside will line up when we're loving the Lord like we should be. You know, when our relationship's right with Him, you know, everything in our life is going to line up. We're going to make good decisions. You know, we're going to be faithful. We're going to hold to the truth. All of those things, they go together, and they go with loving the Lord like we ought to. But it's about our heart. And so to educate people in the doctrine of God, yet to neglect their responsibility to serve God from love is to lose sight of our objective and to turn aside unto vain janglings. And then quickly, verse 7 there in a text, it says, desiring to be teachers of the law. These that had turned aside, they desire to be teachers of the law. You know, into us, we desire to be teachers of doctrine. We desire to be teachers of truth. We desire to be teachers of these things. But if we forget the heart, you know, we don't understand what we're doing. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. So an effective teacher knows what they're talking about. These Jews didn't know what they were talking about. You know, they might be able to say, well, here's what the rules are. But I don't really know how that works and how to apply that. I don't really know, you know, how we're supposed to use that. But here's the rules, you know, and we can do that with the Bible. We say, hey, well, here it is, but how do we apply it? You know, how are we applying the Word of God and the truth of God's Word? Well, it needs to be applied to our hearts. And if it's applied to our hearts, then we're going to live it. We're going to love it. We're going to serve the Lord like we should. So to be an effective teacher, we need to know what we're talking about. There is a sort of person that loves to tell other people what to do, even when they have no idea what they're talking about. Again, be very suspicious and critical of our own hearts. If there's an inordinate desire to be a teacher of others and to always be heard in a conversation, to make sure everyone knows that you know, everybody knows that sort of person. You know, they got to make sure that everybody knows what they know. You know, guide your heart against that. You know, there's an issue there if you're always wanting people to know what you know. You know, we need to just. If there's a truth in our heart, God will lay it on your heart, and He'll cause us to communicate those things as we should. But you know, to always be controlling the conversation, to always be wanting to teach others, and always tell everybody to, you know, let everybody know what we know, and that's not a good heart attitude. But that can be a dangerous thing because there are teachers that love, like the Pharisees. There are those Pharisees that love they love the attention, they love the notice, they love to be, hey, there's one of those guys. And we need to be careful that that's not our heart attitude. When we're teaching the Word of God, it needs to be because we love the Lord and we love others. but we need to know what the law is about. What's it for? It's to apply to people's hearts, not just the outside. It's to apply to the heart. If we don't apply to the heart, we've missed it. We've forgotten what it's about. But let's kind of bring these things to a conclusion. The end of the commandment is charity. So then the end of our teaching should be to produce people who love God and serve Him because they love Him. To know and teach God's Word is good, but to apply it in love is better. And this is the purpose of teaching and knowing the Word of God. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father, thank You once again for Your Word. We're thankful, Father, that You work on our hearts, and Father, that You are interested in our hearts. Lord, we help us not to be Help us to be careful not to trust our hearts. Lord, that's the worst advice in the world, to follow your heart. Lord, we need to conform our hearts to your word and examine our hearts by your word. And help us, Lord, to be truthful with our own hearts, Lord, and help us to be truthful in our conscience. Lord, that we would know that we're right with you simply because we're trusting in Jesus and that you're leading us by your Spirit and by your word. I pray, help us to have an understanding of what we're communicating to people as we tell them about Jesus. Lord, help us to keep in mind the hearts of people. And Father, just give us the things we need today. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.